You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a draft order. The 2019 NBA Draft Lottery took place last night, and we now know who is picking number one overall, and we have to wait over the next month anxiously, debating amongst ourselves who's going to be the number one pick. It's Zion Williamson. We all know that, but the draft is still exciting, and it's going to be interesting to see how picks two through four go. Now that we know the order, we can start speculation with the teams. We also have the final nail in the coffin of the Sacramento Kings trade with the Philadelphia 76ers in 2015, an awful trade that has really been the major red mark or dark spot in Vlade Divac's general manager career. But it's over, it's done with, and on top of that, the Kings basically got the near best case scenario that they could have gotten with the entire thing playing out. At the end of the day, Kings are in a good spot. The Boston Celtics, who have the Kings pick, not so much. We'll talk about that today on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, recaps of the NBA draft lottery, conversation and previewing to the draft itself, we have summer league coverage. We have free agency coverage when trades drop. All summer long, this is the place for you to get through the tough summer months of no basketball. We also have coverage of the California Classic that is returning to Sacramento in July, all the way up to training camp and the start of the 2019-2020 season. You're in the right place if you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan, and I'm very happy to have you here. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host. I'm from Sports 1140 KHTK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. We're going to talk about the NBA draft lottery as a whole from a general NBA perspective. If you haven't seen the order, I'll share it with you, and we'll have some conversations and talking points based off of that. In the next segment, I'll discuss the Kings' specific point of view, so how this draft lottery plays out, how it all wraps up that 2015 trade, and really how the Kings got the best case scenario that they... Well, almost the best case scenario, I should say, that they could have hoped for. And then we will end the podcast with a little bit of talk of the NBA playoffs as the Golden State Warriors and Portland Trail Blazers met in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals last night inside Oracle Arena. All of that to look forward here to today on the podcast, and I'm very happy to have you with me. So thank you very much for tuning in. The New Orleans Pelicans, who had a 6% chance at the number one overall pick, won the lottery. They now have the number one overall pick, which means Zion Williamson will most likely, I say it's like a 99.9% chance, Zion Williamson will be a New Orleans Pelican. Now, if you watch the NBA draft lottery on ESPN, Zion was there, and he didn't look too thrilled about that. New Orleans Pelicans are not one of the most sexy franchises in the NBA. In fact, two of the top three teams aren't necessarily considered to be the most sexy of franchises in the NBA. His number two pick was the Memphis Grizzlies. They moved up six spots themselves. They also had a 6% chance at the number one overall pick. The top three teams, and remember, this was a new revitalized lottery odds system that the NBA implemented last summer in order to discourage teams from outright tanking for the best chances at the number one overall pick. So this year was the first year that the top three teams all had the same percentage chance to get the number one pick at 14% each. But the drop-off between those top three and four, five, six, seven wasn't that significant. I mean, 12.5% chance for four, 10.5% chance for five. And what that led to was only one of the top three teams, or one of the worst three teams, ending up in the top four. And that was the New York Knicks, who had the worst record in the league, were expected or were slotted to get the number one pick. They dropped all the way down to three. Now, the Los Angeles Lakers moved all the way up to four. They had a 2% chance of being number one overall, a 9.4% chance to move into the top four, and they jumped up seven spots. They were expected to have the 11th pick in the draft, and they end up with number four. However, you hear many people saying this is a four or a three-player draft, really, between Morant, Williamson, and R.J. Barrett. Of course, number four does still have incredible value, so good on the Los Angeles Lakers for moving all the way up. The Grizzlies and the Pelicans are obviously the biggest winners here, but it's the Cleveland Cavaliers and Phoenix Suns that are really, really hurting today. They were number two and number three, respectively. They end up at number five and number six. Chicago also drops three spots to number seven. Atlanta drops three spots to number eight. Washington drops three spots to number nine. And Dallas dropped a spot to number 10, which means they do not keep their pick. So the Atlanta Hawks have the eighth and 10th pick in this draft. Minnesota dropped to number 11, and then 12, 13, and 14 played out as expected with Charlotte, Miami, and Boston, which was actually Sacramento's pick and the final pick of the piece of the 2015 trade that went down in July. So the Pelicans get Zion Williamson, and the major question is, how does that affect the AD sweepstakes? Do the Pelicans run the risk of, first and foremost, Anthony Davis has 2 years left on his contract. The second year is a player option, which we can assume that he would opt out of to get a better payday and test the open market, which would be the right decision. So in reality, Anthony Davis really has 1 year left on his contract. Do the New Orleans Pelicans run the risk of playing Anthony Davis with Zion Williamson in New Orleans this season and hoping that playing alongside Zion and the potential turnaround and star power that Zion has will be enough to convince Anthony Davis to stick around and sign a new deal with New Orleans? Do they run the risk of that, or do they try and trade Davis now when he's probably close to, if not at, his peak value in a summer where we were expected Anthony Davis to be the biggest name on the trading block? Do you potentially try and contact New York or even Los Angeles and try and get another top four pick? I mean, I can see a very realistic scenario of the New Orleans Pelicans moving to number three or number four and keeping number one overall and trying to, I mean, how cool would it be if they managed to complete a trade with the New York Knicks to get the third pick, and then assuming Morant goes to Memphis at number two, then R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson, who are teammates at Duke, end up teammates in New Orleans? I think that'd be a pretty cool story. Who knows what David Griffin and the New Orleans Pelicans want to do, though, as I can imagine they would also want to try and get some players of value that are currently in the NBA and star, not necessarily star players, because you're not going to get a straight-up star swap, but maybe a good veteran role player or two to also bring in. It's going to be a good and interesting saga to follow throughout this summer. And speaking of David Griffin, with the Cleveland Cavaliers and now the New Orleans Pelicans, he is Mr. Luck when it comes to the draft lottery. He won the draft lottery three times with Cleveland and now once with the Pelicans. So if you are looking for someone to help you with the odds on draft lottery night, make sure you bring David Griffin with you, because he seems to have all the luck or all the knowledge in the world of how to work the lottery system to his favor. Now, there's a really cool video that came out. They have the actual ping pong balls in a separate room. No cameras are allowed in. Well, actually, that's not true. Cameras are allowed in, but you can't live broadcast it. I believe they take your phones away if you're a media member to go in there. And a representative of each lottery team is in there to actually see the ping pong balls pulled and to hear the official announcements. Now, this happens, I think, probably like half an hour or something before the actual lottery picks are announced. And there's a video that came out of Alvin Gentry, who's the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, who was in that room and his reaction when the Pelicans got the number one pick. And I absolutely love it. He stood up, put his hands in the air, yelled a couple expletives, high-fived everybody else there, which good on the other team representatives to give him a high-five and smile and be happy for him, because it was a cool moment. I mean, the Pelicans haven't had much to be happy about. Certainly, head coach Alvin Gentry over this last season with everything that has gone down with Anthony Davis. It's been a tough time in New Orleans. So to have him get that excitement and get that elation of knowing that he was going to have the best opportunity or he was most likely going to land and be able to coach a star, a potential star like Zion Williamson. That's pretty incredible. So I like that moment. I enjoyed that moment. You can go and check that out on Twitter right now. I retweeted it at MattGeorgeKHDK, but you can find it. Just look up, or even if you're not on Twitter and Google it, just Alvin Gentry draft lottery celebration. You'll find the video. It's really cool, and I encourage you to check that out. I feel bad for Cleveland. I don't feel bad for Phoenix. I'm glad they dropped to number six, but I'm going to share with you in the next segment as we transition to a Sacramento Kings perspective here on the Locked On Kings podcast, why the top four picks is painful in the Western Conference. I'll explain that more in the next segment. So the Sacramento Kings will not have a draft pick in this 2019 draft. Well, I should say in the first round. As of now, they could trade in. They have a plethora of second rounders, but they do not, as of now, have a first round pick. And we've known that for quite some time. That was unavoidable. There's no protections on this pick. There's no chance at all that the Kings could have ended up with their first rounder this year. We've known that for a while, and that has been a tough pill to swallow for many in Sacramento for quite some time. But with the pick ending up at number 14 going to Boston, literally the last pick in the lottery ends at 14. With this also being a relatively weak draft by the standards of NBA scouts and analysts, all of that considered, plus the fact that the Kings are coming off of a 39-win season, and just the year before in the lottery, they moved up to number two, and the year before that in the lottery, they moved up to number five to get De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. Almost the best-case scenario of how this all could have played out. Again, of course, it would always be better for the Kings to have their number one or their first-round pick. And there's no way that anybody's going to tell you that Vlade trade with the Philadelphia 76ers wasn't horrible. It was a bad trade, and Vlade learned a lot from that trade, and I guarantee you he never, ever, 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 ever makes a trade like that again, and he hasn't to this point. But unless the Kings had won more than 41 games or equal to 41 games, which would have put them at 15 ahead of the Detroit Pistons and outside of the lottery, the best case scenario happened, which is the last pick in the lottery going to the Boston Celtics, who, by the way, heading into this season, they expected that to be a top five pick. Because remember, the Kings were expected to be one of the worst teams in the league and the worst team in the West. And of course, they weren't. Now, the Philadelphia 76ers were also disappointed because they wanted this pick to end up at number one overall so they could keep it. But there was only a 1% chance of that happening. That's the good news. Also, I am aware of, and I know people are going to tweet at me, and I read this, and it doesn't matter to me because there's going to be scenarios like this for every team. The Kings came within one lottery ball of their pick moving up into the top four. It would have been the fourth overall pick instead of the Lakers, which means that Boston would have gotten the fourth overall pick. Yeah, that would have stung. Yeah, that would have sucked. But it didn't happen. It didn't. So there's no point in talking about it. Well, they came so close, though. But they didn't. It didn't happen. It's over. They did not move into the top four, and the Boston Celtics got the worst pick in the draft lottery in a weak draft. So that's the focal point. That's what we're talking about. We're not going to talk about hypotheticals because you could do that for hours upon hours with every team. I'm sure the Los Angeles Lakers came a couple balls away from ending up in the top three, but they didn't. I'm sure the New York Knicks came a couple balls away from getting the number one overall pick, but they didn't. Reality is, New Orleans got number one, the Kings got number 14, and that's it. Well, Boston got number 14, and that's it. The worst part about this draft lottery, other than the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers moved all the way up to four. And was anybody surprised when that happened live and they heard the Lakers moved up? Was anybody surprised? I think we were all expecting them to be top three. And of course, then you would have had the conspiracy theories and everything come out, but it's the Lakers. Laker luck is a thing. Quote unquote luck. You believe what you want to believe there. But the worst part about this draft is the fact that once again, the Eastern Conference is absolutely dominated by the West in everything, literally everything. New Orleans gets the number one overall pick, Western Conference team. Memphis Grizzlies get the number two overall pick, Western Conference team. The Lakers get the number four overall pick, Western Conference team. Three out of the top four teams are in the West. Cleveland dropped, Chicago dropped, Atlanta dropped, Washington dropped. While New Orleans, Memphis, and LA moved up. The Sacramento Kings are, they finished in the ninth spot, just on the bubble, missing out on the playoffs. It sucked. It was painful. And I think we all have expectations of them to have a big summer and to come back next season and hopefully make the playoffs. But what does that mean? That means that at least one team of the top eight has to fall out, which is difficult. And that also means that the Kings have to keep the other teams that finish below them from getting in. And there are a lot of talented teams in the Western Conference, or I should say there are a lot of teams with good talent in the Western Conference currently that I think are going to make strides and improve next year. The Dallas Mavericks are the first team that jumped to mind. Also, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now the Memphis Grizzlies and New Orleans Pelicans have the top two picks and two, quote-unquote, bona fide stars coming to their teams. The Los Angeles Lakers still have LeBron James. The West is just brutal, man. How difficult the West is to be successful, which is why I put so much stock into the fact that the Kings were able to finish at ninth this year and get 39 wins. Now, a lot of that had to do with their success against the Eastern Conference, which I'm not holding against them. That's exactly what they needed to do to improve. But they have to build upon that and take that to the next level if they want to make the playoffs next season. So no, Zion isn't going to come to New Orleans and immediately make that a playoff team, we think. I don't think Morant or R.J. Barrett are going to go to Memphis and pair up alongside Jaren Jackson Jr., which is going to be extremely exciting, by the way. But I don't think that's going to make the Memphis Grizzlies a playoff team immediately. But it sure as hell gets them a lot closer. And the Kings have to be just as aware of those teams below them as they are with the eight teams that were ahead of them that they're desperately trying to steal a spot from. Meanwhile, the Eastern Conference, I mean, we better hope that the Eastern Conference does manage to land Anthony Davis in a trade and does get Kevin Durant to New York. Maybe Kemba Walker decides to stay in the East in some way, shape, or form. Because the West just continues to get stacked. And the NBA draft lottery is no exception to that. All in all, though, a great night for the Kings, a great night for Sacramento. The fact that this pick ended up at number 14 makes that pill, that tough pill to swallow a whole lot easier. It makes moving on from this bad trade, finally moving on from this bad trade, a whole lot easier. And the reality is, and I tweeted this out last night, again, you can follow me on Twitter, and I encourage you to reach out to me on Twitter and interact with me on Twitter. It's a great place to have a conversation. And if you let me know that you listen to the Locked On Kings podcast, I'll always try and shoot you a follow and make sure that I am just as much a part of your community as you are mine. But I tweeted this out yesterday. If I had told you 2 years ago, if I had told you the day after DeMarcus Cousins was traded, after all of the anger and fallout from the DMC trade and Vlade Divac saying I had a better deal 2 days ago, and all the insults that came the Kings' way and Vlade's way for really the best you could get for DeMarcus Cousins was Buddy Hield and a pick that ended up number 10. If I had told you 2 years ago, the day after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, that the Kings would get the second pick in 2018, which would turn into Marvin Bagley, would win 39 games in 2018-2019 and finish ninth in the West, and would have the nearly best ending possible to that horrible Philadelphia trade with the lottery pick ending up at number 14 and going to Boston, you would have done backflips and handstands through the streets of Sacramento. We all would have. The stars are aligning for the Kings in Sacramento. Things are turning around. Things are working out. And you need to be lucky just as much as you need to be good to be successful in the NBA. And the Kings are both getting lucky and good at the same time. Things are working out. Vlade has to be thrilled. The Kings have to be thrilled because regardless of where Zion goes, regardless of where RJ Barrett goes, regardless of the fact that Boston has the Kings' first-round pick, that does not stop and make the fact that the Kings will start next season with one of the best and most exciting young cores in the NBA irrelevant. No matter what happens in this draft, the Kings will start next season with De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Buddy Hield, assuming that the Kings don't make a trade. Now, that's always an option out there, but that's up to the Kings themselves. The Kings are in control now. There's no more question marks of what their pick is going to be and who, what team is going to end up with it and how good is that pick. It's done. It's gone. We now know all the facts. It's all there, and the Kings are in control. And that's awesome. You know what team isn't in control? That's the Portland Trail Blazers. I honestly believe, and I still believe, that the Blazers and the Warriors will be and can be a close and entertaining series. Now, that doesn't mean that the Blazers are going to take it to 7 games or even 6 games, but I expected all these games to be close. Last night, game one between the Warriors and the Blazers, with Kevin Durant out, mind you, the Warriors embarrassed the Blazers. I mean, Steph Curry alone scored more points than CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard combined. And the only reason I'm bringing this up on the Locked On Kings podcast is to reiterate the truth that the only team that is going to stop the Golden State Warriors is the Golden State Warriors. And just because this is potentially, quote-unquote, the end of the Warriors as we know them, with the very, very real possibility that Kevin Durant could be leaving, doesn't mean this team is going to drop off that significantly and suddenly fall out of the glory spot in the Western Conference. If Kevin Durant leaves and goes to New York, which is where everybody's expecting him to go, and assuming that the Warriors and Klay Thompson get a deal done, which is everybody's expecting that to take place, I mean, we're seeing in this playoff series that Curry, Klay, they're just as effective as they were before Kevin Durant joined this team. And I think we forgot that. We forgot how good this team was before Kevin Durant joined. They won championships. And they looked damn good last night against Portland. They looked amazing against the Houston Rockets when Kevin Durant went down. You're never going to hear me come on here and spew hot take garbage like the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant, but they play certainly a different style of basketball that pays homage to the Splash Brothers style of basketball that won them their first title and when Steph Curry won multiple MVPs. And it's still just as effective. Unless Durant leaves and Klay Thompson leaves, or Steph Curry demands a trade, or Draymond Green turns into a locker room cancer and takes that organization down from within, the Warriors are still going to be there. I still believe they're going to win the championship this year, although I'm hoping that the Bucks or the Raptors give them a run for their money in the East. And then they're just going to be a good team next year. Like we talked about, the West is brutal, and it's only getting better, and the Warriors, I don't think, are going anywhere. I'm hoping the Blazers will find a way to make it more competitive in game two. And if they don't win one of these two games in Oakland without Kevin Durant, before Kevin Durant comes back, they have no chance and they might be getting swept, to be honest with you. They might get a game in Portland, but they have to win one of these first two games in Oakland if they want a shot at pulling off a massive upset and beating the Warriors. But I don't think it's going to happen. Let me know if you agree. You want to comment on the playoffs, you want to comment on how the draft lottery turned out, if you want to comment on what you think the New Orleans Pelicans should try and do with Anthony Davis, what they should do with the number one overall pick, it's all fair game. We don't just have to talk about the Kings specifically here on Locked On Kings. I'm open to all sorts of conversations. You send me emails all the time at mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, sacklocalmedia.com, and please keep sending them. And I'll try and respond to as many as I can. A lot of you are also very active on Twitter, which I appreciate. The Locked On Kings community is fantastic. And I always try to get into as many conversations as I can. So join the conversation at any time. This draft, even though it's probably not going to be as exciting in terms of a massive crop of talent like last year's draft was, draft night and the lead up to draft night this year might be really exciting with just Anthony Davis sweepstakes alone. And we'll follow it all here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I also believe there's a very real possibility that the Kings could be looking into trying to trade their way into the back end of the first round. They have a plethora of second round picks, and they have assets. So maybe they might do it. And if you would like to see the Kings do that, let me know as well. I appreciate everybody listening today to the Locked On Kings podcast. I look forward to having you back for the next one. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.